The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on page 2 of the Doctrine and the Importance of Doctrine, Roman numeral 5. It is your responsibility as a believer not to forsake the assembling of yourself together for any reason, but to get before your right pastor in the congregation and to get yourself before God in fellowship and concentrate on the very reason why this church was founded, and it is the importance of Bible doctrine, and it is not merely to give lip service to the Bible like so many people do, but to pursue its contents and dig out what's in there and turn the believer who is amenable to it into a mature believer, a Christ-like believer, having and possessing the mind of Christ. So all other considerations need to be put aside. Whatever's out there, whatever's going on, it's going to take care of itself. God's in control. Let us pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we know that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the ways of death. We are here because we are seeking the truth, and the truth will set us free from the bondage and the lies and the corruption that is inevitably spread all over this earth as a result of the fact that humans generally are negative and hostile to sound doctrine. Thank you for this opportunity. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. There are various analogies in the Bible from the physical realm to illustrate the importance of Bible doctrine. Of course, a very apt one is physical food. Only gave one verse on that. There's any number of verses that indicate that the truth is a nourishment to the soul, necessary to the inner person. And, of course, the familiar Luke 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone. You'd think a lot of people, that's just the opposite of what they think. That they will live by bread alone. Hence the obsession and popularity with food programs all over the place. And I have a verse that tells me that food, no matter how well prepared and plentiful it is, whatever does not commend you to God. You're not more in God's approbation because you had a great meal than some simple fare. Again, physical food is, and you come here to get your spiritual nourishment. I'm here to present. I'm your servant, and I am to serve you. I don't feel like I'm being spiritually fed. Be like in the human realm. Well, first of all, you got to open your mouth and put the information and take it into your soul. That is key. You have to receive it. You can set it before someone, and unlike in the human realm or the food realm, where yes, we have our likes and our dislikes, in the spiritual realm, even Brussels sprouts are good. Of course, water. Water is used for eternal life. It is used for because it's super essential for human existence. They've got too much of it in South Carolina, obviously. Man, the things that are coming down on this country. And this is one side of the country is on fire. The other side is one area of it. And I'm not saying the people of South Carolina are worse than anyone else. This kind of judgment and wrath is falling on the nations, not just here, but all over the place. If you don't see the signs, I can't help you. Hook it up with Bible doctrine. Recognize where you are in time. The things that are coming down should draw people to doctrine all the more. as we see these things developing. I did tell you, my memory sometimes. I did tell you that the first red heifer has been born in Israel. That's the report I got. Okay, I got it off the internet. So what? Could have got it out of the library, could have got it wherever. But it's the first. That red heifer means not just a cow that's got a bunch of red on it. It means 100% this baby calf was born. There is not, and they need one to anoint. If you go in your Bible, do a little research, ashes of the red heifer. What was that all about? What did they use it for? What was the ritual? Well, they did not. They had to sanctify in their ceremony. They had to have the ashes of a red heifer. Now that is a female bovine that's mature, has reached maturity, and they showed pictures of this one walking around with its mother, a little calf. The point is, there's not a white hair on it, and that is an incredible genetic rarity. They just aren't, they don't have a group of them, they just can crank them out, apparently is what I've learned. So, again, with things coming, this heifer ought to be just right in time for our timeline. If you believe in it. I don't know what some of you believe anymore. Honestly. Since you run amok and make up things on your own, some of you, and doctrine starts to deteriorate in you because of certain attitudes people have. You ought to be really excited about the fact that we're moving to the final stretch and get out of this mess. And get where we, and get face to face with the Lord and get our rewards. So water, the washing of the word here is, and water, with water emphasis, we have two things. It gives life. And it cleanses. It cleans up stuff. We would, and how, at least, I don't know, maybe you do, take for granted that you can turn on that spigot. Now, it isn't always the purest drinkable stuff with all the chemicals they put in it. But at least it cleans stuff up. And why everybody's running around buying bottled water is because apparently the stuff that comes out of the faucet isn't as healthy as they'd like it to be. So they're buying this, and some of that stuff's a ripoff, too. But I don't worry. That's okay. That's just what they do. People make money. Light. God's word is light. It sheds light on things if you let it. So we can work our way out of all this incredible darkness that seems to be thrown at us all the time. So I am more and more turned off by TV. It's just so tiresome. And they chattering about stuff, lying about stuff, telling you that this will make you happy by implication. If you don't have it, you can't be happy. And how this med will fix this condition, but you'll get these others potentially as a result of taking it. We have a country have become completely so dull of thinking and observation, it isn't even funny. We just sit there because it's a happy ad with pretty people, and listen to this stuff. Lies everywhere, distortions. God, deliver me from evil, all sorts and kinds. There might even be some out there that I actually like. I know that's hard to believe. Evil dwells in me. You say, I know that. It dwells in all of us. Paul, tagged on with him all his life. And he would say, you know, no good thing dwells in me. I'm a wretched man. And this is a great apostle. I mean, everybody ought to want to even be within, you know, striking distance of that greatness. And that's what he had to say about his STA. So, anyway, off on STA. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Okay, that's all figurative, isn't it? But it's something. The word and the truth in your soul gives you guidance like a flashlight would in a dark environment, without which you stumble and fall all over the place if you'll turn the light on. if you'll use it. My job is to be a light up here, communicate the information, and you're to go out there and conduct yourself in all your relationships and situations with this light. We're giving you light all the time. So you can go through this world and this brief lifetime and not be like the many who have no hope, who do not talk in terms of hope, who do not talk in terms of, I can go through this and get SG through, or eternal rewards. They don't talk like that. A lot of Christians, you won't even hear them talking like that. They're not even talking about, I mean, they might mention the crown, but they don't have a clue as to what you got to do to get it. It's just something going to be handed out to everybody because you're there with a smile on your face. No, it is going to be handed out to those who qualify. And there isn't a person in this room yet that is qualified. We're working on it. Every day. And all the people I've seen get tripped up in the history of my 45 years here, it's incredible. And they were good at one point. And it isn't my fault that they went off and went back into whatever and are scattered all over out there. They got to a point where the truth once suited them, now it doesn't. And the same doctrine. Oh, we might have had some developments and some improvements and understanding on things. That's inevitable. A light to my path. And also 130. The unfolding of your words. Doctrine is made up of words, vocabulary. The unfolding of your words gives light. Boom, the proverbial light bulb going on. Oh, I see that. You have questions about things in the Bible. If you're paying attention from time to time, tell you what people tell me they do. They pray about it. One person said, and it wasn't within two Bible classes, I had a couple questions that I'd been wrestling with, and I got it right out of Bible class. God the Holy Spirit works through a finite human being to communicate the plan. Believe me, it's daunting. It is daunting. And like Paul, I can say, who is adequate for these things? God makes us adequate servants. The proof I have here is all of the categories of doctrine that have been cataloged, all the many hours, and I have mature believers. People who are definitely, I consider, to be mature. So, there's proof I must be doing something right. I'm doing a lot right. Do not be running off and following other people. We had people in the past who were listening to radio preachers. And that undermined their doctrine of right pastor, right congregation, because some clown said that wasn't an issue. And there's that doctrine, too, that I reviewed recently. And doctrine has parameters. Definite parameters. Right pastor, right congregation. God, divine appointment. So if you're listening to anybody else, and I don't care if they came up in this church, run from them. A normal, healthy sheep will run from them if they presume to be teaching you and have set themselves up. They're in for it. That's going way off track because you're upset about something I'm teaching. So you go run to somebody else and you tell me what it says. That's not what a mature believer does. Never did, never has been. So that's an exhortation. And you can screw your face all up. I don't care. There's a past day when you wouldn't have done that. So you remember that. This is sacred. I told you, but you hardened your heart to this. I told you, if I was out there and I had the gift and I had been trained, I will not go near that man's sheep. I don't care what is going on, and I don't care who's trying to recruit me. I don't need a church that bad. And I wouldn't want one like that. It'd be like dragging his woman off somewhere. See, no, I ain't going to do that. Didn't get that one, did you? You don't touch and mess with the Lord's anointed. You see, that's just for kings. Oh, you're a theological expert on that. No, it's for church age pastor teachers. That's their protection. Well, we got to do something. When did that become an issue? God will take care of the under shepherd and protect the sheep if he goes off the rails. You don't believe that, huh? I've seen God administer the sin unto death to pastor teachers that I had influence over and taught in the past and were doing well at one point and went down. And it wasn't pretty. It was not pretty. Well, you're judging, Jack. No, I'm not judging. Not sinfully. This was a clear case of the sin unto death. It was a pastor teacher who I was really friends with. I liked that person a lot. And it all started with him running me down to others, and others would say, he's your friend. If you got an issue, why don't you talk to him? He continued to do that. And one day, he was put in a near, or if not, vegetative state. And that was not the sin unto death, and the devil didn't do it. Well, if he did, he was given freedom to do it. See? And it pained me a lot, because he started going off down the fundy path and taking issue with the example that he had from here. And decided he knew how to do it better. And this. I understand pastors out there in some place, and you're struggling. I'll use that term. A small congregation, little funds, blah blah blah. Well, that's what you signed up for. So at least he was at one point legitimate. He went out from here. And then he went off the rails. That's more common than it is the other way, obviously, by far. People get out there and they get their own little ideas about it. Well, Jack, you just think you know it all. No, I don't know it all. And if someone came up with something legitimate, was out there and presented it to me, I'll look at it. I'm not saying he couldn't, obviously. I'm just saying, you got the example here. You better follow it if you want that crown. Otherwise, you'll just forfeit it. So, God's word is light. I open my mouth. Oh, excuse me. I got the wrong verse. The unfolding words gives light. It gives understanding to the stupid. Simple. What's simple mean? I mean, something simple that's be nice can be okay. That word, but simple, sometimes they'll translate naive. Let's just be frank. People, we all started off there, didn't we? We came here and we were dumb. We were stupid. We had a fundy, all our ideas, everything. That's how when we came into Maranatha Church. We start clearing that up for you. But right now, some of you are resisting that movement. Not because the information hasn't been transplanted. You're just resisting it. Okay, I give you your space, give you all the time, give you time within reason. But one thing affects other things as well. Because if you do not respect my authority up here and you have this issue, then you're not going to listen to the rest of it. It won't come through like it once did. Oh, yeah, that's right on. But that's another thing that's happening in the last days. People are getting lukewarm. They're getting distracted by jobs and things and all the other business out there that eats your lunch. And it happens to all of us. I'm not standing up here like I'm, you know, some person that should, boy, I'm just above all this like I was Jesus. But it is out there. It is, people become indifferent. People start, oh, well, I don't want to go tonight. Oh, well, I have to apply that. Okay, I don't have a prayer life. So you're not getting answers because you're not truly praying like you're supposed to. With all your heart and mind focused on God, get me in line with the truth. And protect me from that which is hurtful to me spiritually. Help me to have the grace to walk away from it. This whole business of drawing circles around where you are you spiritually now. What kind of a crowd do you hang out with? If you're not, we have a few people who are loners that stay to themselves. That by itself isn't healthy either. I like to be around people that encourage me. I like to be around my sheep that are truly, I don't mean, singing my praises, but thankful and grateful and how God's worked in their life to help them through things. I enjoy that. That's the kind of fellowship I enjoy. I enjoy talking about the other stuff too, but after a while it wears thin. A few laughs. It's about the truth. It's about what we're trying to achieve. Gold. Well, gold's always been popular. In Psalm 19:10. Again, this is that psalm that deals with the witness of God through creation. The universal witness of God through the physical creation speaks of a divine creator. Does it not? Everywhere you turn. How come we have all these people that have all these different ideas of how everything got here and where it came from? The pagans did too. The pagans said, the pagan Babylonians, the pagan Egyptians had some idea what gave birth to everything. And it was all this just crazy stuff. But we've risen above that, haven't we? Yeah, we are way above that. There was an explosion 13.7 billion years ago. And they say this thing with a straight face. And everybody, how cool. Well, that's not what my Bible says. The whole creation, all the sophistication and all the details in it, the little bug running across your patio, everything you see and everything there speaks of a designer who put it all here, once he got the earth in place first, prehistory, then he put it here in 6 days. 6 days? You mean 6 days? Yeah, 3954 BC on your calendar. First week of human history. There had to be a first week. And it didn't take him millions and millions of years. I hear this stuff all the time. Every time you turn on TV, I like to watch nature shows. It's interesting. The animals and various things, their habits and so forth. That's something you can observe. You see it right up front. But then this guy who knows a heck of a lot about biology, I believe his name's Jack Hanna, on Saturday Morning Deal. We watch that from time to time. Have coffee, watch that. But it just, 20 million years ago, he's been brainwashed and he's highly educated. No regard for the scripture at all. Nice guy, apparently. Nice guys by the dozens. Who cares? Tell him that we got all of our aquatic life in this event. They would scoff and mock you to no end. That's why we stand out from the world. We have the truth. We don't have to go to some big library on the evolution of the species and read all this garbage cranked out by wise men. They will all be brought down. This will be the basis for jokes in the millennium. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And I'm getting hell for it. All right. Jesus got some hell for it too, didn't he? I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And therefore, if you want to make that metaphorical or it doesn't really mean that, where do you end with that? You just are turning things over that don't suit you. What's the Bible say? On Wednesday, we got all the luminaries. Boom! That's pretty... Right after the earth was covered with trees and grass and every kind of herb you can imagine. Because Jesus Christ did it. He's deity. He did it. I like the thought that the Creator is also the Savior. I like that. He's the hands-on creator of things. It's beautiful. The one that did all the miracles on earth. All these people. And then they rejected him. He could have done millions more of them. They still would have rejected him. Because something was wrong up here. And his disciples were dull of hearing. They liked him, big deal. But they acknowledged him as Messiah, that's a good deal. But they wouldn't take to heart what he literally said because of their conditioning as Jews who had fallen into salvation by the law. And they wouldn't listen to the Lord. And they got burned. But they came around. There's always hope. They didn't need to go through all this misery. They put themselves through it. They should have just said, okay, he's going to go through this. We got to adjust. We got to acclimate. He's got to bear the sins of the world, but we're going to see him on the third day. So, okay, guys, let's go somewhere and wait this out. We'll go see that. We need to witness a cross scene. Oh, that's unpleasant. I don't want to see that. No, we need to see it. We need to be there in that audience and see it from all the way through. And then we can retire and wait for the third day. How hard would it have been for them to get that doctrine in their soul? They didn't. They're full of themselves. Oh yeah, he's right about it, but not this. It's the same old story. Moses fought him in the wilderness over it. But that, of course, was a really corrupt generation. These are also reasons, folks, why I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Nobody would report their early history like the Jews and have such failure of a bunch of people during 40 years. They glorify it like they did in the movie Ten Commandments. You know, an old Charlton Heston one. Some of you have got to be as old as me to remember that one. But now of course, that's Hollywood. What do you expect from Hollywood? And then the later ones that came out were even worse. Because who believes in a Red Sea crossing? We do. We believe our God overrode the physics of water for a moment in time and parted that water. And God blessed us in time to figure out where it really occurred. And that's... So Bible doctrine is gold. What did I give you? 19... Okay, 1910. I was off on that. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. God's witness is through the creation. Through the creation, man comes to God consciousness, God awareness. Every normal person becomes God aware. Even the atheist, I don't believe in God. He's aware of God. Because you had to be in order to say you didn't believe in him. See, it's what fools these people are. And so these people that don't want a relationship with him and want to deny his existence and get away from him, manufacture pseudo-systems to explain away or why everything's like it is. And in the modern world, it's the evolutionary theory that is connected to a Mr. Charles Darwin. And things in it sound plausible and all that makes some sense, but it's junk. It's junk science. It's worse than that. It's darkness. They have fooled men and given them somewhere to run with this. So, the second part of the psalm is about the God's witness through his written revelation. And for the Jew in the age of Israel, the law of the Lord is perfect. Restoring the soul. From what? Being out of fellowship. Being in reversionism. Your soul can be restored. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the stupid. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Rejoicing, having joy because of Bible doctrine in your life. And you don't have all you have to do is remember it and be occupied with it. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That's the eyes of the soul, so you can see through things, see things as they are. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. That's stimulation of the taste buds. Gold Do you believe Bible doctrine and that what you have in Bible doctrine, if you've got it, is better than piles and piles of gold, if you could be given those? You bet. What's gold going to do for you when you get a fatal disease? What's gold going to do for you when this or that happens? Yeah, you can buy your way out of a lot of stuff, but there are some things you can't buy your way out of. You can't slow down the aging process. Now, you can go on all these sites and get all the anti-aging stuff you can throw your money at, but you're still going to get old. But you're going to be young forever as a believer in Jesus Christ with a resurrection body. We're talking about that today. You know? So my solace for old age is I'm building up SG3 in the meantime. And not very far off from now, I'm going to be set back at age 35 in a resurrection body that I can't even comprehend, with a brain you can't even believe its ability to process stuff. I will know everything that's in the Bible. Everything. And then some. And what all the people that are antagonistic, they're suddenly going to get reprogrammed with a complete mind of Christ because they weren't those that weren't involved in time with this process. Imagine waking up one day and stepping from being an absolute out of it believer and then suddenly having all this truth in your soul. Because we're not all going to run around and be in phase three and be stupid anymore. And some of you got to be able to say, well, I heard that in Maranatha Church. I heard that taught. And I cast it aside. They didn't suit me. I didn't like that doctrine. And what's Jack know about the doctrine of separation? I know a lot about the doctrine of separation. I know a lot about it. So, of course, wine, new wine, old wine. Old wine, that's kind of a dispensational section. You don't put new wine in old wineskins. Wineskins, that's a physical thing. New wineskins with new wine because it's expandable. If you do that, it breaks and all the wine runs out. If you put new wine and all that, and Jesus just knew that principle, that physical principle, and he uses it as an illustration. So I've taught you in a way that, you know, you can come out from under the legalism of those who try to impose Old Testament things on you that are not applicable. Tithing. Keeping the Sabbath. And Paul uses pregnancy in Galatians 4:19, where there was the impregnation of the Corinthians with doctrine to form the person of Christ within them. This was miscarried when the Judaizers came in. The Judaizers came in and told them, okay, Jesus is the Messiah, but you got to keep the law. Paul gives it... They like this, don't they? Paul gives you this easy gospel. We want to tell you that these Judaizers, Jews who were converts. And again, the same type thing. Smooth talkers. Flatterers, all the stuff to set people up. Good old boy. Hey, how are you today? I don't care how you are today. You're just a sucker they're zeroing in on like a salesman. Now there's some salesman that might care about you. What's a salesman supposed to do? Find something to flatter you about. Flattery is a sin too. Now you can compliment someone. There's a difference. You know, that's a nice car you're driving. Where'd you get that? I mean, there's okay, complimenting people, but there's the flatterers out there. Galatians 4:19. My children, guess what, Maranatha? My children, and a bunch of them aren't here. They're running amok. My children, with whom I am again in labor. You know it, for Paul to get in there and get the Galatians under the plan and moving forward, that's a struggle for him. Of course, there's the spiritual struggle. There's things you have to overcome. You've got an audience of people, and what are they going to do with it? And all you have to go through. I've got to go through a process I shouldn't have to go through again. But I do. It fell to me. I wrote you this letter to get you lined out and get you away from this tailspin you're in. And he says, I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. That's a term for the fetus being formed in the womb of a woman. That's an unusual one. Israel had a week-long feast once a year celebrating the doctrine, the importance of doctrine. Now, we'll have people say to me from time to time, well, that's just your interpretation. Yeah, it is my interpretation. What's yours, genius? Why do you think they had these feasts? They had these feasts to illustrate certain aspects of the plan of God. And the week-long feast was a week in which all leaven was to be removed from the premises. All leaven outside the house. And it was that unleavened bread. Like we, you know, that little piece of it you get when we do communion. That has no leaven in it. Leaven is, throughout the Bible, is a symbol for evil. It's an interesting study. Because it spreads. And it causes dough to rise up. It's by itself, it's a physical thing. But it illustrates, and is always used as an illustration of something bad. Leaven spreads. A little leaven leavens the whole loaf. It doesn't take a lot. Doesn't take a lot of leaven to leaven the whole loaf. We love leaven in bread. But in the spiritual analogy, I haven't seen a verse where it is ever used in a positive sense. It spreads like mad. We also use the word yeast. Okay? That's where we get those nice dough, those nice, on the holidays, rise up the bread, you know, that's so good. My grandmother used to make hot cross buns, which was just basically those with excellent frosting across the top. But that's when people cooked everything from scratch. The importance of it is it was to be celebrated for 1 week. And every Jewish home and household and in the desert, it was you had to go through the deal of getting leaven out of your tent or your later their homes. And it illustrates the importance of doctrine. It was called unleavened bread to show that doctrine is free from any admixture of evil. All leaven, evil, had to be removed from the immediate premises. Those in violation would be cut off from Israel. That were really serious. Are you kidding me? Someone who is in blatant violation of it. I don't know how they enforced that. I mean, I don't know how they discovered that. But it was in there anyway. And to be cut off from Israel means excommunicated. Doesn't mean executed. You don't want to follow the colors, Bible doctrine? Out. And you don't want to illustrate the doctrine once a week, a year. How hard is that? The importance of the Word of God and the fact that it is free from evil, we will eat this bread for a week. The gathering of manna by the Jews in the wilderness, as you've heard, how was God going to feed so many people out there? Well, He has unlimited means, but He chose to do it this way. He chose initially, and this is all in Exodus chapter 16, which book we've covered in its entirety. As we studied this part of the Word of God. Moses up front, you know, they came out of there with enough food to get them a ways down the road. And then they ran out of provisions because you can only pack so much. And people are really hungry when they're working hard all the time and walking. And they were a healthy bunch overtly. And they flunk the running out of food test. There's a lot of promises here. God's going to feed you and take care of you in time. You're a positive believer. You even have a better chance at it. Even in difficult times, God's going to take care of you and provide for the righteous. So that's the doctrine of living grace and the food aspect of it. And here they are, maladjusting. Now you've got to realize, we're maladjusting, and we've already seen the great power of God over our enemies and providing us with what we needed up to this point. We're fresh across the Red Sea. They ought to have all been on a high. And we understand that this food we packed out of Egypt is going to run out. And this is a wilderness. And there's no nearby cities and places where we can go and buy stuff. So what are we going to do? So the sons of Israel, there at this location, grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Okay, let's. You start talking down your spiritual leader. Run them down. That's a target. Things aren't going well, blame the pastor. But really, you're complaining against God. You don't like the way He's running things. That's where the complaining is, the sinning. They said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we ate by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." How perverted. You can't hardly get any more perverted than that, can you? It was so wonderful in Egypt. We remember that when we had to hide our babies. And we worked long hours on work gangs for the Egyptians. We were beaten. We didn't have holidays. We didn't have nothing down there but pots of meat. And would that we had died in the land of Egypt. Well, you're going to die in the wilderness. But that comes later. Because you continue to persist with that, the sin and the death is in the offing for you. Believe it. It is a reality for believers who are highly culpable, who act up and act against the truth. You don't want to go there. You definitely do not want to go there. The more doctrine you have, the more culpable you are, the greater the problems are. On the flip side of it, the more doctrine you have, the more you apply, the more the blessings come down out of heaven. And they come in all different forms too. But that's another thing they lost track of. Fear of God. They became arrogant, hard-hearted, and they could turn in a minute against their leaders. Then the Lord said to Moses, He always gives His leader a heads up. "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction." Now this can also be a test within a test. I'm going to drop bread out, and there's a procedure for gathering it. It isn't a free-for-all. It isn't going to come down out of heaven 24/7. There's a procedure. Now, that's one of the problems people have today. You know what? They can't follow instructions. Some of you have come for me for counsel. You didn't listen to a thing I said. You did the opposite, assuring me that you would follow what I said. But I gave you the divine viewpoint, what you ought to do in this situation. But you didn't do that. Brenda says, some people just come to you so you reinforce what they want to hear. Well, that may be so, whatever their motivations are. She doesn't say that. Everybody does that. Certain persons, they come in with their stuff and they want me to pat them on the head. Oh, that's okay. It ain't okay. I got to give you wise counsel. You ask me advice, I'll give you advice. Separate from that person. That person left church. They rose up against the authority of the leadership and the doctrine. Get away from them, or you are going to be like them. That simple. It's like Elijah said, choose this day who you're going to follow. You followed me this far, I'm not going to take you into some doctrinal hell. You pay attention. And you pay good attention. And you pray like crazy. If I'm wrong, God, you come down on me like crazy if I'm being stubborn and I got hang-ups and yet the information is clearly being set in front of me. Because I don't want to miss my crown. After all this, and take that embarrassment event at the Bema, it'll be over quick. but it'll be the worst shame you'll ever experience. I guarantee you it will be. Because you'll have everything, you'll be right in your soul, right in everything, and you'll see what you didn't take advantage of. So the manna, basically, here's the thing. Initially, the Jews did not know what this white coriander-like substance was, although Moses had briefed them prior to their first encounter with it. I told you what it was. You went out there like a bunch of dummies. What's this? What's this? It's all sympathetic that you're not paying attention. He used straightforward words. Of course, they'd never seen this stuff before. This was new. Nobody else ever had either. This was bread that fell out of the skies on the ground by the tons. But it was a delicate substance. Their response when they first saw it is, "What is it?" Which is the Hebrew word menhu, which became its permanent name. I love that. That was the name it became, manna. Manna means, what is it? Daddy, would you pass me some more, what is it? God has a sense of humor. It is a rebuke to these people. They didn't have some fancy name for it. Heavenly bread. Well, yeah, it's used one time, it's called bread of angels. Because the angels were the transport vehicles for it. How do you do that? I don't know. I just take it by faith they did it. This humorously illustrates negative volition's response to a doctrinally oriented ministry. What is it? What's that? They walk in. Occasionally we have a visitor stumble in here off the street. Hey, honey, let's go to that little church. Check it out. I drive by it all the time. It's Easter. Let's go there. Well, Jack kills the Easter bunny in front of him. Exposes all that nonsense. Because that stuff's fun. Boy, that's fun. We want to go to church where it's fun. We'll go to Funsville Church. Fundy Funsville Church. We can just have a free-for-all and do whatever we want and believe what we want, and they'll say, God bless you, and pat you on the head and take your money. No, especially take your money. They don't care about your soul. It's fake. Completely fake. They've deluded themselves. All these people are deluded. So that's the kind of church they want. And historically, what's happened with regard to certain churches that had doctrine is they start watering it down. Because if you got to keep your members, you got to keep them happy. So as a pastor, you got to be clever enough to do that. I don't do that. I don't know how to do that. All I can do is appeal to you before God. Stay with it. Hang in there. You think I'm awful today? Just hang in there. God will kill me and you'll be free of it. But don't rise up and run around out here and run amok. Stay the heck away from that. Don't sully yourself with that stuff. Is that too hard to understand? I wouldn't go near it. A million miles of it. If I thought I was wrong about, Jack's wrong about this, but otherwise teaching all this other stuff, I'm all on board with it, I guess. Are you? Or was this starting some time ago? Because if you're quenching the Spirit and you're out there and I'm talking about something and you're in obvious violation of it, but you just keep going down that road, what does that do to the believer? If you're playing favorites with people, if you're looking the other way because your kids and their nitwits are acting up and you make an excuse for them and constantly make an excuse for them. I know you love your kids. Who does? Normal people do. But you have to draw a line. And you have to line them out. I don't care if they're out of the house and grown up. If they're acting up, you say, look, son, this isn't appropriate. And I'm exhorting you as one believer exhorts another believer. You need to pull your horns in and quit this nonsense. I don't know. Again, I went back to the one, you know, people get burned on, doctrine of separation. No, don't feel bad. I'm not here. I want you to feel good about doctrine. You and that you're living it. If you've got off track, get back. Just make the adjustments and clear out some of this stuff. Now, this human, the Jews had together it before the sun melted it. There's a time and place to come under face-to-face teaching, showing that there is a prescribed time and place for the intake of doctrine. The Jews were together only what they could eat per household, or it would spoil. That's a part of just the instructions. I don't have all the insights on the spiritual side of it. On Friday, they were together a double portion. All this is lined out ahead of time. But we will find a way to mess that up if we can. The Exodus generation complained about their diet for 40 years, illustrating negative volition. Oh, they'd eat it because they had to, or they'd starve to death. But they're out of fellowship. They didn't say, we have a great God. He has never done this for people before in all of human history. He brought us out here, and He's raining food down on us for our families, and enough for all of us every day without fail, but a double portion. So let's not follow the rules. Honey, let's get some more, and we'll hold it overnight. It would breed worms and stink to the high heaven and smell up their tent. Maybe we ought to follow God's instructions. That's what they did. That generation will go down in infamy. As always, don't be like the Exodus generation. They badmouthed their leaders. They couldn't follow instructions. And they wound up dying the sin unto death. Except for two fellows whose hands I also have to shake in phase three. How imagine getting up in your tent every morning. You got your neighbors. All these tents are packed. All laid out in military fashion. Everything. All you got to interact with them. And all you hear is this complaining. Some days it's worse than others. Trying to undermine your faith. And you're trying to encourage people. God's with us. He's been with us. Can't you see all these things He's done for us? Yeah, but. And how He's helped us. And how He's with our leader. You don't come off of a mountain with your face shining. You don't hit water and it goes like this. Blah, blah, blah. And we heard the voice of God from the mountain. And He backs Moses up. I think we ought to go with Moses and what he says. But the perniciousness of negative volition is to find a way around that. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.